Okay, here we are on February 2nd, and we're on Acts of the Three Nephites, chapter 10, and Aaron's going to lead our discussion.
Okay, I'm ready. Are you all ready?
You bet.
Chapter 10, Acts of the Nephites. Let us therefore be moved by a higher cause in which brother watches brother, and the Church of Christ as a whole watch over all the members so that there is no needy, sick, and afflicted in our midst, that we may show ourselves true disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ and be worthy representatives of his name amidst a corrupted and misrepresented world. It's so beautiful. Does anyone have comments on that?
I forgot to mention something earlier, and I've added something to the Zoom so now that it'll do translations correctly. But since none of us speak another language except Bakya is the only one that we can really try it out. But
Oh,
so
I
you should
can.
be able to speak in a foreign language, and we should still get it in English if we
Let me
enable our
see.
closed captions. If
Let
you
me my
could,
language.
if your language is in the selection box.
Okay, kunnen jullie me verstaan?
Go ahead.
Kunnen jullie mij verstaan?
Says we can hear. Can you hear me? I think it's what you said. Do you understand me?
Ja, verstaan, ja. Oh, dat is leuk.
Yes, I understand. Yes.
En ja, ik weet niet wat ik moet zeggen. Maar oh ja, over vers 1. Ik dacht altijd dat er stond in which brother watches over brother. Maar hier staat in which brother watches brother.
Sure. Watches brother watches over brother, but you're in a which brother watches brother, which is brother or
Dat is interessant, want dat is een verschil natuurlijk.
it's a little slow. Essentially because it and they are different, of course. That's what you said.
Ja, ik lees het ook. Ik lees ook de ondertiteling. Maar ja, ik kan ook weer in het Engels gaan, dus misschien handiger. Wat
Okay.
denken jullie?
All right. Good. Thanks.
Brother Steve, can you read verse 2?
I can.
Is
Cease
Brother
there. Cease therefore your complaints and your grumblings, for nothing can be more destructive to men in the flesh than to complain continually. Cease looking for mistakes on your brothers or sisters. But love one another just as Christ loved us, for this not only qualifies us to be his disciples, but identifies us as such.
That's a few words that says a lot. I wish, probably of all the things, murmuring, as we read in Sealed Book in earlier part, is one of the most destructive. And I often catch myself because I'm an expert at that. I can with the best of them. And sometimes it's just for the sake of having the best murmur. And it's outrageous. It's like it's kind of contagious and it's malignant.
Like gossip.
Yes. Yes. I once heard someone say that little people talk about little. Middle-sized people talk about things. But big people talk about ideas, and I think within the realm of ideas is where the spirit can flourish.
I wrote down a reference here to Luke. Chapter 6, verse 45. I'll read that. Luke chapter 6, 45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh.
Yeah, very good.
I'm the same way. I can get in a negative state where nothing's going right, and I just complain and complain, complain, and it just puts you in a bad, bad state of mind. Those feelings just, and sometimes it's hard to pull yourself out of it too, right? I think my wife has told me that for every bad thing I say, I should say five good things to kind of help counterbalance the darkness, as it were. And I've known people like at my job and other places who just constantly complain, and it's hard to be around them. I mean, you don't want to be that person, but this verse right here kind of strikes at the heart of that. Nothing can be more destructive than to complain continually. Anyway.
And but the beauty of it, the two good things here. One is we're becoming aware. And two, as we become aware, we're more easily reminded about, taking that dirt road that leads down into all the complaining that's contagious. And we're becoming enlightened about the fruit of this change in path. So I think, the good news here is we know and we are aware, and then it becomes what will we do with it. But I don't think you can say more in shorter words about happiness or lack of it than this paragraph is laid out. Brother
Yes,
Mike.
it's. Oh,
Or,
yeah.
sorry,
I
brother
would like to.
or sister.
Can I add something?
Go ahead, Bakia.
Oh, sorry, because there's a delay or something now. But yeah, but working together with people sometimes is hard, as we all know. And sometimes a better way. So, when is it grumbling or complaining or being constructive? It's also how you bring it, because I'm not a firm believer in pushing everything away, like, okay, this is that person's process or something, because we all have blind spots. We sometimes not aware of things we are doing or saying, or getting stuck in a mode and not wanting to hear from anybody else, like the hardened heart. It usually starts with a hardened heart. So it's also important to be open to receive feedback on maybe things, and be able to give it. To give that feedback in a good way, because yeah, when you get mad, you're usually not very good at giving feedback in a positive way. But if you're in a calmer state, yeah, and sometimes a little adjustment in someone's behavior can lift up the whole process, So yeah, it's a balancing act, I think. That's
Yeah, as a
what
matter of
I
not
was thinking.
being, not being offended, being open to hear and not be offended and move forward and grow.
Yeah. And that is also how your soul grows, I think. Because yeah, otherwise everybody could stay the way he or she is. Which is not the point, I think. I think it's to grow and to learn from things that happen, and yeah. Well, that's what I was thinking.
There was a passage in the Nemanja record that I thought was pretty powerful. They talked about their council meetings and some of the challenges of other people bringing in other beliefs. And I don't know if it was Samuel the Lamanite or where Aaron, you may remember, but they talked about the wisdom to invite those people in and to let them talk and to have no judgment upon what they said, that their judgment was for what they believed, and they would be cordial and tell them, "We heard you, but we don't agree with you, and we're going to stick with what we have." And they would treat them nicely. And then it went on to talk about, we have no right to judge others. And it made some very powerful remarks about that, that I thought, man, if they could get that in the government today, but we can't judge others because, like you say, that's all they've got. That's their perspective. They don't see that.
I have a question, and it concerns mostly the verse before that. One time I was over the Relief Society, and I brought up the fact that we should pray for some such and such in the ward. And people disagreed that I should ask something like that. Because they felt that you shouldn't announce other people's problems. And I hadn't said the whole problem. I just said that we should be concerned about them and pray for them. I don't know to what extent I was going that it should offend people. I would think as a ward we would be, or as a community, we would pray if somebody needed help.
I agree fully, Dolores, and I think that we have to be able to open ourselves up to be really a Zion people, to lift each other. If we don't know anything about people, we can't lift them and help them. And that's, but I understand the people's hesitancy to open themselves or let themselves be opened. Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Okay. I just felt badly if I had offended many people. It was just, I just thought the more prayer that ascended to the heavens would be beneficial.
Sure.
Yeah, and that little tidbit about knowing it's from God, I think applies there. Given in love to serve others, we know where that comes from, and how can that be wrong to share? If you didn't, if you didn't trample upon their privacy.
Okay. Thank you.
I agree with that, Sister Dolores. The more prayer that ascends up, the better, right? I feel those same feelings.
Thank you.
Aaron, do you want me to do three?
Yes, please, will you?
Be glad to. Cease to be idle, for this is required of us as servants of a great king, to be vigorous in our affairs, no matter what we are engaged to do with our own hands, doing it with every endeavor of our heart, mind, and soul for the honor and glory of our Lord.
There's another one of those verses. It says so much in just this small sentence.
Yes, and it's also about consecrating, because this comes after the whole instruction of the blueprint for the setup for the United Order. So, yeah, that's also interesting thing to remember, because that is why it says churches of Christ as a whole, watch over all the members, so there is no needy, sick, and afflicted in our midst. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that time, that we can, lay the laying on of hands, to cure I think that will be possible in the future. Just like the apostles of Christ laid on hands, you know, to cast out demons or make the blind see. So, but first we have to, set up the order and build a spiritual temple, which is also, this is the guideline for, I think, the coming chapters of, okay, how do we implement all this? How do we keep the good feelings among us? Otherwise, there is no structure, there is no foundation. Thanks.
It's good for us to constantly ask ourselves these questions because then it's always at the forefront of our minds. And so then when we come back together, we edify each other again, come back stronger. And, you know, because we can't do it without Jesus. We can't do it without each other. And it's with the feelings of peace, I was just thinking that consecration and the ordinance of the tithes really should be a thing that is gold to the saints. The you know the commandments of God, that's in their pure essence. That's our gold. That's our treasure. That's what sustains us. Is there any more comments? Sister Bakshi, will you read verse 4?
Yes. Again, I must remind you of Christ's commandments about Zion, of loving your wife with all your heart, and only to her you must give exclusive dedication, love, and consideration. And in turn, she must cling only to thee. And if thou covet thy neighbor's wife, or thy wife is predisposed unto the charms of another man, thou shalt deny the faith. And the Holy Ghost will stay away from this house. For how much as sin remains hidden, and if there is no repentance of sinner, and subsequently forgiveness by the offended party, then shall be taken out of the midst, oh, then shall be taken out of the midst of the people of Christ. What is covet?
What does covet mean?
Yeah, if thou
That
covet.
it is envy.
Oh, so if you're envious of your neighbor's wife, because that talks about if thou covet thy neighbor's wife, this is talking to a man, probably, right? Or not? So if you're jealous of a neighbor's wife, if she is more beautiful or something?
If you want her.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, I always found this interesting. So if you are lusting, probably something like that after a neighbor's wife, or thy wife is predisposed unto the charms of another man, that's another level of it's not the same, right?
It's sort of Christ's commandments, the spiritual ones. You can't, these are the sins we try to hide.
So covet and then or thy wife is predisposed unto the charms of another man.
It seems to me a similar thing to envy or covet or covetousness.
Is the same covet and envy? No.
No. No.
They're different. I'm sorry, Sister Bakshi. Maybe we could look it up in the dictionary.
I always found this sentence interesting because
Okay.
but yeah.
Envy is
Yeah, I know what envy is.
okay. Let's
Yeah,
look
I
at
know.
covet.
Like, yeah, envy, envious. Yeah.
Covet.
But covet is something else, says this to the Lord.
One, to desire or wish for with eagerness, to desire earnestly to obtain or possess in a good sense. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says, covet earnestly the best gifts. Definition two, to desire inordinately, to desire that which is unlawful to obtain or possess in a bad sense. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, wife, or servant. See Exodus chapter 20. It can also mean to have an earnest desire. 1 Timothy chapter 6. That's from the Noah Webster American English Dictionary.
Yeah. So and for a woman, she doesn't even have to desire a man, but if she is charmed by another man, which is a difference.
To me, that predisposed to the charms of another man is that she has got more attention for him than her husband.
Yeah.
And it's likely to lead to places that are going to make them all mad.
Yep.
But the man is also more interested in the other if he is coveting the neighbor's wife. So it's a bit the same, but it's different. Yeah, well, anyway. Sorry to take up so much time about this, but
In section 42, we get a similar command. This is starting in verse 22, section 42, 22. Thou shalt love thy wife with all thy heart, and shalt cleave unto her, and none else. And he that looketh upon a woman to lust after her shall deny the faith, and shall not have the Spirit. And if he repents not, he shall be cast out. And then it talks about committing adultery and whatnot, but it's very similar to what it's saying here. Cling unto her only.
Yes, but so there's an extra instruction for the wife here.
Yes.
It's a
Yeah.
very good section, Brother Michael. It's all good, isn't it?
I was going to make a comment in the previous verse, but I was my computer lost the internet, so I had to jump on my phone, and now I'm back. But
Do you want to make
great,
that comment now?
yeah, it's just a comparative verse in section 88, about the cease to be idle. If you go to section 88, verse 69. See, so that's a long section, but this one says, remember this great and last promise which I have made unto you. Cast away your idle thoughts and your excess of laughter far from you. And then if you go down to verse 121, it continues. Therefore, cease from all your light speeches and from all your laughter, from all your lustful desires, from your pride and your light-mindedness, and from all of your wicked doings. And then if we skip down to 124, cease to be idle, cease to be unclean, cease to find fault one with another, cease to sleep longer than is needful, retire to thy bed early that you may not be weary, arise early that your bodies might and minds might be invigorated. So we're getting a lot of good instruction that you can kind of piece together from other places here, but it's all just kind of in one place.
That is very good. Brother Michael, will you read verse 5?
Yes. Here is wisdom and a promise.
Michael, you're on mute. You
Am I on?
Yeah, go ahead.
Can you hear me now? Am I
Yeah.
okay? Okay. Here is wisdom and a promise. Since Zion begins in our own house, then the fundamental bases of the United Order of Enoch are the families that compose it. If therefore families are weak and disunited in their homes, then the Society of Zion will not last for a long time. For when a family falls apart, the foundations of our society are shaken. Nevertheless, if families are not strong and united, then our conception of the kingdom of God among men on earth will be nothing more than a fable. It begins in our own hearts, in our own homes. And if we can't do it in our homes, how do we expect to do it in a community, right?
Or have children grow up knowing how to do it if they've been watching.
Sister Dolores, if there's no more comments, can you read verse 6?
Yes. May purity and goodness be in the mode of speaking between the spouses and practice in relation to the children so that their behavior reflects the outside world. In the outside world, beyond the walls that shelter their homes, developing a society whose language is pure and unblemished to ennoble the magnificence of Zion among the sons of men. I was just thinking in the from the previous verse that I've known families where the mother would constantly berate the husband, and it just led to all sorts of wickedness, I guess I could say. The children went their separate ways. I don't know if any are active in the church anymore, but the complaining and amongst family members just destroys a family, let alone a community.
I'm reminded of Shakespeare taming of the shrew, and the way he tamed her was by treating her very interestingly and with respect. And
Was that my?
It has a trickle-down effect, if there's always quarreling or fighting between the father and the mother, it has an effect on the children who usually girls become more like depressed from the inside, or having eating disorders or depression. Boys usually get aggressive towards others. So this is a whole generational trauma thing.
Yeah.
And if the if the parents, well, what are we now trying to do to turn the Nimrod process around, which is quite an subject, but yeah, it's great to look at it this way, to try to reverse that, try to be aware of your own feelings, what we are talking about the whole time, and yeah, because we become what we carry within ourselves, right? So yeah, it would be great to have a situation like this. May purity and goodness be the mode of speaking, which reminds me of I don't know if some of you maybe had the calendar of the McClellans. And February is what is it? The verse in Moses 5, verse 39, which says, only by having purity of heart, so purity starts with this, only by having purity of heart can feelings of holiness be attained. For this is to be holy, to be pure before God, and only with a pure heart and united in the sentiments derived from the name of the Most High, taking upon himself the name of his only begotten Son, is that the people will become Zion in the last days, just as Enoch exalted the feelings of his people before the flood swept the earth and they were caught up in their days. So that was Moses 5, verse 39, which has similarities here, also talks about Zion.
I wanted to bring up, I don't know if you're all familiar with this story. John Pratt and his wife were arguing, and their son, John, who was 7 years old, said to his father, "You got to stop doing that because you're going to eventually see the gold plates." Now, that son doesn't follow the second invitation anymore, but I thought that was a really interesting story.
Yes, I remember that story.
So the wife still has to see the gold plates.
No, John Pratt is who he was. The son was t telling John Pratt he's going to see the gold plates.
Oh, I thought he was addressing both parents.
No, he was talking to
Oh,
John.
okay. Wow. Yes. Yeah, John Jr. is a seer. Yeah.
Brother Russell, can you read verse 7?
Sure. If the guidelines of our home are the teachings of Jesus Christ, then we will live in homes where joy reigns, whose branches of our posterity will be firmly rooted in the fruits of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. These being the feelings that must fill our earthly abode as being a heavenly refuge. And behold, joy is one of its fruits, and will overflow through the walls in the homes of Zion.
I don't know how you all feel, but that's got to be our spiritual temple,
Yeah, that's
our
great.
refuge right there. And this example of Anthropocene eisthema is exactly what our Lord demonstrated in his earthly ministry. Those are my thoughts right this moment.
In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 55 through 7, and I think Balki mentioned this in her article that she wrote. This is one of the keys to the celestial kingdom. And those verses aren't emphasized very much in the church we're leaving, but these items is not a good word. These
Sentiments,
characteristics.
are desirable. They're necessary for us. And the one I need more than any of them is to break my heart. I've become so cynical anymore that I can't cry. And that's what I was going to ask Malky. Give me some instructions. How can I become more loving and tender? The traditions have just hardened my heart. I just feel, I'm sorry, that's enough.
Yeah. Well, reading the scriptures helps.
Yes.
Yeah, to become more like in awe. I will send you a podcast about the power of awe. It is now how do you call it? The wetenschappelijk, they are studying feelings now. You know, science is finally admitting that feelings are things you can measure, and they're not vaguely things or something. It's really has an impact on people, and they are now doing all these kinds of experiments with it. And I just heard two people talk about the power of awe, and that's a good place to start to become more, well, childlike, to become more in awe of the whole plan, the creation, seeing a flower, maybe. It was a really interesting to listen to, and that science is now, you know, turning more to the investigating the feelings and the sentiments. Turning off the news is also sometimes very helpful.
Yes, send us that information. I'll send it out when I post this meeting.
That podcast?
Yeah.
Yeah, send okay.
A link to it.
Yeah.
So that...
Yeah.
Do any of you remember what Brother Mauricio was saying last night? Sister Bauchi reminded me of it when you were talking about how science is, they're opening up to, you know, these things, the human mind, and they're beginning to see it's much more complex than what.
Oh, yeah. He talked about 4-year-olds playing pianos and talking 8 languages and stuff. The more the eternal round part about it, I think.
Yes, and see, it's just so amazing. But it's in the earth, these things. Kids being born and then they're remembering bits and pieces of a previous life. It's crazy.
I have a reference here to Sealed Moses chapter 4 verse 17. If you count the in verse 7 that we just read, there's 9 things that it talks about. And if we go back to Sealed Moses chapter 4 verse 17, there's also 9 things that I underlined that are similar. I don't know if maybe they're synonyms for what we just read. But I'll read that. It says, "What makes you pleasing to my eyes, because never before have I found in one man the fullness of my name graven on his heart, just as there is within you the feelings of charity, enthusiasm, peace of the spirit, resignation to withstand adversity, benignity, compassion, faith, tenderness, and self-control, believing that you will attain a higher kingdom with such gifts that are in you. Seek to have with you a congregation of those who resemble you." So I just drawn an interesting connection there, that these might be synonyms to what we have in those 2 verses. They're not identical, but I think they're close.
I think there's a long list of them.
Yes.
Would believing be one also?
Yes. I think so.
That's 9 sentiments here. Charity, enthusiasm, peace of the spirit, resignation to withstand adversities, benignity, compassion, faith, tenderness and self-control, and believing that you will attain a higher kingdom. With such gifts that are in you, seek to have with you a congregation of those who resemble you. This is the United Order.
One that my dad would be forgiveness, forgiving, easily forgiving. Because that's where my heart gets hardened, just when I start getting those quiet, unspoken unforgivenesses that accumulate in the normal course of a day. And it's hard to reach the spirit. And I heard Dolores talking about that. I can feel that. It's like a shell of scar tissue that builds up. But I have to set my, well, I have to learn how to do that. And I think for me, it's through repentance, open-hearted repentance.
Very good point, Brother Steve, but also forgiving yourself for being, for feeling that way, I think.
Exactly.
Because I also have, problems with forgiving, and it could take sometimes hours, maybe sometimes days. It gets less and less, luckily, but the longer you wait, the more, scar tissue you gather, I think, or what takes time to heal, but it's a hard thing to do, you know. But maybe it starts with forgiving yourself for feeling that way, and maybe from there better feelings come.
I found that I'm harder on myself than the Lord is, so trying to forgive myself is a little tough. But I believe that if I seek His forgiveness and repent, if He can forgive me, I can forgive me.
And by the way, Michael, interesting that you named these nine things, because in the Herald I wrote the article this month, which says exactly the same. And I think the sentiments from Acts of the 3 Nephites 10 verse 6 and the feelings from Moses 4 verse 17 are expressions of the things in Acts of the 3 Nephites 10. Because love, it starts with love in Acts of 3 Nephites, and charity, we know from the sealed book, charity is the highest form of love. So if you look at it this way, then joy, and then enthusiasm is the highest form of joy. And if you go down that road, and then you find faith is in both, on the same place, which you also need to have good feelings. But it's interesting that you also noticed it, because I also noticed it.
Yeah. I haven't read your article yet in the February. Is it in the February edition?
It is, exactly the same what you are saying.
I'll have to read that.
Yeah. It's a morphogenetic field, Harm calls it, you know, when there's a thought in the air, other people can experience it, maybe. I don't know what the English word is, but it's called there's a thinking field around the world and people catch up on ideas.
Sure.
Consciousness.
Yeah.
That's true. Or at least I think it is.
Yeah.
I believe it also.
Which is great, because the more positive thoughts, the better, of course.
Brother Steve, will you read verse 8?
Glad to. Shaphan was the scribe, secretary of King Josiah. Wait a minute, am I in the right place?
Nope.
Hey,
I
wow.
flipped over. Wait a minute. You can tell I'm not all here this morning.
Chapter 10, verse 8.
It shall come to pass that after you have consecrated, I
Well,
am in your place, right?
usually that is required.
Wait a minute, need 3:19:10. I am in the right place, right?
Chapter 10, verse 8.
The unity that is required of us as disciples of Christ has no structure in its foundations, are not firmly established among the families of Zion. The more united we are to the members of our families, the greater will be the strength of the structures of our unity as God's people.
A thought I just had is this may not be easy, but this relating to this verse, that's what will bring us a solid foundation of joy. What do you all think of that comment?
Sure.
Three.
I
Brother
think.
Russell, will you read verse 9 if there's no more
Yeah,
comments?
I'm going to go read all the rest of the verses here in that chapter.
Okay.
Yea, truly, I tell you, our commitment to make our homes the symbols of Zion not only prepares us to respond to a higher purpose before the world, but also enables us to live the true unification among brothers, such so that our actions may be perceived out there among the people of the Gentile nations, so that we draw to Christ all those who have the desire to join us for the purpose of living Zion in their hearts in perfect peace and harmony. And it shall come to pass that after they have consecrated your life according After you have consecrated your life according to these words, you shall be a steward of the goods of the Lord to meet the needs of your brethren in the church according to their deficiencies. Therefore, be sober in your work stewardship and put away all the pride and haughtiness that is in your heart, because you will be a representative of Jesus Christ among the children of men. So you'll draw people to you as you fulfill these divine potentials and characteristics.
I just had a thought that I wanted to say something, but I just feel dumb because I really don't know that much about it. But I was just thinking this is probably the real law of attraction. These things with the Anthropocene eisthema and with what Brother Steve and Sister Bauchi were talking about. And that's my thought that I just wanted to share. What do you guys think?
Well, it shall come to pass after you have consecrated. So there is work to be done. It's not, because what did you say? Manifesting?
Yeah,
No.
Brother Russell said, such so that our actions may be perceived out there among the peoples of the Gentile nations, so that we may draw to Christ all those who have the desire to join us for the purpose of living Zion in their hearts in perfect peace and harmony, which all throughout the scriptures, it's very plain, but Zion is a people pure in heart.
Pure in heart and living the united order and like what people will be very interested, you know, if we are able to set up the united order, like then we will have our basic needs met, you know, and we will not have to worry about that. We have the ability to you know, rejoice to the Lord is also in the sealed book, and not rejoice, but to honor him in the comfort of our own home.
Yes.
And it, that will give peace, and that is what people will be drawn to, exactly, because there is so much confusion, strife, depression, anxiety, just name it all. You know, and it also says, watch over members, there is no needy, sick, and afflicted. Wow, who wouldn't want to be there, you know? But yeah, it takes work. It takes picking up that chisel and hammer to mold yourself into that temple. It doesn't go, it doesn't come like, okay, I'm gonna sit here and it's gonna happen, you know. But there's yeah, we really need to, you know, examine yourselves also in the New Testament. Yeah. So that's what I thought.
Well, are you done, Aaron?
Well, I was trying to find this part from the Visions of Glory that I wanted to share with y'all.
Okay.
So there's a book that's called The Visions of Glory, and it's by, I'll just grab it.
John.
This is one from John Pontius.
Pontius.
Yes.
About Spencer.
John Pontius. Brother Steve showed me this book right before I went to Brazil last year. This is the book.
Yep.
And you would have to read it just to see the full context where I'm going to be coming from. But so there was a part in his vision where he was traveling with elders to people that the Lord had in the north. Ice caps were melting and all of that sort of thing. And they were really high tech, but it was more like a spiritual kind of thing. But one of the things that stood out to me in that part was, I'm sorry, I'm going so slow. I took a note, and it was, let me see. It was, they were all learning that when they were self-seeking, it seemed barbaric to them. They only wanted Christ. That's the gist of it, but I mean, it was just really interesting the way he put it. If you want, I can play the clip right here, and maybe you guys can hear it. So I'll just play the short clip.
Technological and scientific advances that blessed our lives. These advances were all spiritual in their nature and depended upon increasingly greater manifestations of faith to operate them. There were no advances in electronics or anything the world had invented before. Electronics and earthly sciences seemed like primitive stone tools to us. We were intensely interested in the gifts of God and the changes in our hearts and bodies and priesthood power. Our old ruggedly self-sufficient attitude now seemed barbaric.
What do you all think of that? That is in, let me find the
chapter. We wanted to be one with Christ. We wanted to search the depths of our blessing.
I think
that's in the fourth vignette under the temple section.
Yes. Yes. You're right. I'm glad you found that, Brother Michael.
Yeah, self seemed barbaric. We wanted to be one with Christ. So that unity with the Savior, there was no more self-centeredness, right? They wanted to be one with him.
Yes, thank you. Oh my heck, that was a struggle for me for some reason.
Well, thanks a lot, Aaron. Appreciate
Problem.
sharing that.
Well done.
So appreciate your attendance today. And next week, who would like to lead our discussion? Baki, would you like to lead our
Yeah,
discussion this week?
I can do it, yes.
Okay. All right. I will share a screen and we'll sing our song. And then if Michael, if you want to give our closing prayer.
Oh, do you want to stop the recording or
Yeah,
not?
we still
Oh,
record.
yes. Yes, thank you very much.